Good Resurrection Sunday morning. It's so good to see each and every one of you. Welcome to Murfreesboro Baptist Church, whether you're here in person, listening on the radio, or watching online. We are so glad that you're here to worship with us on this day our Savior has risen. If you would, please stand to sing the choral call to worship. It's hymn number 198, and it is Jesus Christ is risen today. Join me in the spoken call to worship. 1 Corinthians 15. This is the day that the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
For Christ has been raised from the dead.
He is the first fruits of those who have died.
Just as death came through a human being, for as all die in Adam,
so will all be made alive in Christ.
For he is risen.
He is risen indeed.
This is the day that the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Let us pray. Dear God of new life, we give you thanks. We thank you for your Son Jesus and for the new life he gave us with his sacrifice. May we remember that you are a God of resurrection when we fall into despair. In your name we pray. Amen.
Well, good morning once again. It is certainly a great joy to have all of you here and a great joy to have this baptismal field once again. From the very beginning, as Christians began their journeys of faith and discipleship, they faithfully participated in the cleansing act of baptism as exemplified and commanded by Jesus Christ the Lord. And for centuries, that took place today, Easter Sunday, to symbolize their resurrection into the new life made possible by Jesus Christ. And today, we continue this ancient tradition of the church as we baptize and welcome into the body of Christ a new believer, Jackson Barlow Cole. Jack, do you believe in God the Father, creator of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and of all that is unseen?
I do.
Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, his Son, that he was crucified, died, and buried, and that he rose again on the third day for you and for your salvation?
I do.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who has come upon you at your confession of faith and who guides you in your going forward?
I do.
And do you, the members of Murfreesboro Baptist Church, pledge to love, encourage, and pray for Jack as he begins his new life with Christ? Will you welcome him into our community of believers and help him to grow in his faith and in his commitment to our Lord Jesus Christ? Jack, it gives me great pleasure, as it gives all of us great pleasure, to baptize you as our new brother in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray together. Most holy Christ, on this day of resurrection, we are grateful for what you have done long ago and for what our brother Jack has done this morning. They lead us to new life, and may we, as witnesses of Jack's faithful decision, be reminded of our baptisms and of our faithful decisions, so that we may pursue you more closely and seek you more faithfully. In the name of Jesus, our resurrected Lord, amen. I invite you now to stand and sing hymn number 194, Christ the Lord is Risen Today.
Thank you. start growing again? Does the grass start turning the color again in spring?
Green.
Green, right. And we have to start cutting our grass again, right? So we see flowers, and we see trees, and we see grass. Do you see any insects outside during the spring? What do we see? Mosquitoes come by, yes. What? Bees?
Butterflies.
Ants? What? Butterflies. Now, let's talk about butterflies for just a minute. Does a butterfly look like this from the very beginning? No. What does it look like when it starts? It's a caterpillar, right? And it, what? That's right. Butterflies fly. So we start, it starts out as a caterpillar. Are caterpillars as pretty as butterflies? Jeffrey says yes, but usually when we think about butterflies, we think about how pretty they are, but they come from something that's not as pretty. Just like the grass goes from brown to green in the spring, and we also have flowers growing. So we know that the spring is what we call a season of new life. What did Jack do this morning? He got baptized. And that means Jack is now entering into a new life, his new life in Christ. So at Easter, we celebrate what?
Jesus' resurrection.
And we celebrate from Jesus' resurrection that we all have new life in Christ Jesus by coming on Easter. So I have a butterfly for everybody so that you can remember the new life we have in Christ. Let's say a prayer. Dear Father, we're happy today because Jesus rose from the grave and lives forever. We are also happy because we know that those who believe in him will also have everlasting life. In Jesus' name, amen.
This morning's Old Testament reading is from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 65, verses 17 through 25. For I am about to create new heavens and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind, but be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating. For I am about to create Jerusalem as a joy and its people as a delight. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and delight in my people. No more shall the sound of weeping be heard in it, or the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant that lives but a few days, or an old person who does not live out a lifetime. For one who dies at 100 years will be considered a youth, and one who falls short of 100 will be considered accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall the days of my people be, and my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity, for they shall be offspring blessed by the Lord and their descendants as well. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like an ox. But the serpent, its food shall be dust. They shall not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. The word of God for us, the people of God. As we turn now to our time of prayer together, we remember Janie Smith, who is home from the hospital, but we continue to hold her in our prayers, and Lisa Turner, who is having some hip replacement surgery tomorrow. So, Lisa, we pray for you in that. We also continue in our prayers for Andrea Eason, for Leanna Driggers, for Larry Futrell, for T.W. Hill, and for Randy Copeland. And we also this morning pray for the family and friends of Greg Lowe, who passed away a few days ago. Are there any others to add to these?
Lane, our neighbor and Alicia's cousin Jane McLean passed away.
So we pray for the McLean family in Jane's passing. Are there any others? If not, let us pray silently and then come together as one. Lord, this is indeed a day of joy. It is a day of new life. Yet as we remember these brothers and sisters, as we remember the ones who are suffering and the ones who are mourning, we realize that your work is not yet done. So for these families who are hurting, for those who are in pain, for those who may not know what the next week or month may look like, may you fill them up with the sure hope of your resurrection. May you fill them up with a hope that can only be found in an empty tomb. May you fill them up with the life that can only be had in Christ the Lord. And may you guide us, those who are here today and those who are away, may you guide us to be the hands and feet. May you guide us to be the ones doing the work of our resurrected Lord. And in that way, your kingdom shall come here on earth just as it is in heaven. In the name of Christ the Lord we pray, amen. I invite you now to join me in standing and singing hymn number 207, "Lo, in the Grave He Lay."
Thank you.
this day that we celebrate and rejoice in the new life gifted to us through the resurrection of Christ, let us, his disciples, offer up freely and cheerfully a portion of the gifts we've received to the glory of God and to the service of his kingdom. Let us pray. May you bless these gifts, O God, and may you bless those who have given them. Together, Lord, may the gifts and the givers unite to do the good work of your kingdom, to meet the real needs of our community, and to proclaim the unfailing love of Jesus Christ, your Son, our resurrected Lord, who in his name we offer this and all of our prayers. Amen. For the work you put in, not just for Easter Sunday, but for every time we are gathered together to worship. Our gospel reading today comes from chapter 20 of John's Gospel, verses 1 through 18. Early, on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. And she said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings laying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head not laying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and to your Father, to my God and to your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. The word of God for us, the people of God. Let me just first say, if I sneeze, just pardon me. Today is Easter. The Lord Jesus has risen from the grave and walked out of the tomb. And the good news of this day is that since death was unable to hold him, we know that death cannot hold us either. And as we look around, we can't help but notice that our very sanctuary has been transformed as a testimony to this good news. The bowl of ashes that stood here on the pulpit for 40 days as a constant reminder of our mortality is gone. The black cloth that overtook our sanctuary on Thursday evening has been taken away, and banners that tell of glory and resurrection have been hung in their place. The imposing collection of sticks and thorns that stood looming just over my shoulders has been replaced by the beauty of these sweet-smelling lilies. And best of all, the cleansing waters of baptism have been stirred anew. This is all exactly how things should be. For today is Easter, a high and holy day of worship. It is a most glorious day, and it is exceedingly good that we are here together to bear witness to and to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. There is no more proper place for us to be. But because it is so good and so right for us to be in this place and at this moment, the temptation of Easter is to celebrate the resurrection as the end of something. However, as we have heard from all of our readings this morning, the resurrection of Jesus that we and millions of others celebrate today is just the beginning of what is to come. It's understandable that we might want to celebrate Easter as a conclusion, for it is certainly the culmination of the Lenten journey we've been traveling through. We began on Ash Wednesday with prayers of confession and with a reminder of our deaths smeared in ashes on our forehead. We decided that we would spend these last 6 weeks giving something up or taking something on so that we might grow closer to God and so that our faithfulness might increase. Then, just 1 week ago, we came together on Palm Sunday And with great joy, we joined our children to sing out Hosanna for all to hear as Jesus made his entry into the holy city of Jerusalem. On Maundy Thursday, we sat with Jesus around the table. We saw him break the bread of life and share the cup of salvation. We came back on Good Friday and entered into a darkened, somber sanctuary to mourn the crucifixion of Jesus. But then, at the end of all that, after weeks of quiet waiting and personal growth, we gathered together this good and glorious morning around the empty tomb. With gladness, we saw that the stone had been rolled away and that the burial garments had been cast off. We covered the barren cross out front with the beauty of flowers, and with great gladness we proclaimed that this is the day that the Lord has made, and that Jesus is risen indeed. And we, like Mary, have heard Jesus call our names. We have heard him call us from sorrow to joy, from despair to hope, from death to life. Finally, after the long and bumpy road through the emotional season of Lent, we can allow ourselves to take a breath, to rest a bit. We've made it. Jesus is resurrected. The work that God began in Bethlehem has come to its fulfillment today. We can go home and eat our ham and our deviled eggs and take a nap. For we have been faithful in following this tiring Lenten journey to its end. But that's the rub, isn't it? For when we do step out of this beautifully transformed sanctuary and away from the joy of today's worship, we realize that we haven't truly reached the end. To be sure, Lent is over. It's behind us, and we ought to take a deep breath and a well-deserved rest. But when we finally make it to Easter morning and to the empty tomb that once held Jesus, when we behold and revel in the long-awaited and promised resurrection, we can't help but feel, deep in our bones, that we are far from the end of things. For the resurrection of Jesus is only the beginning. There is so much more yet to come. Indeed, as we proclaimed together in our call to worship, Christ is only the first fruits. For as he is now, so too shall we one day be. And in the ancient prophecy from Isaiah, we heard the prophet say that God was about to do a new thing, that God was about to create new heavens and new earth. These words of Scripture, and countless others like them, point us towards a hope that is still ahead of us, to some greater reality that we have not yet reached. All of these words place the people of God in a threshold of some new beginning, and there is no greater beginning for God's people, for us, than the resurrection of Jesus. It is the event that propels us forward. The resurrection is the reason that we, as people of faith and faithfulness, are able to go out tomorrow morning into a world that seems to be more divided and angrier and chaotic than it has ever been. Because Jesus has been resurrected, we who follow him can wake up tomorrow knowing that we do not bear the burdens of life all by ourselves. We remember again those words that Paul wrote to the Corinthians, who were suffering through their own divisions and burdens, that Jesus Christ is the first fruits of the world's impending resurrection. Because he has been resurrected today, we can hold fast to every confidence that we too will one day join him in that resurrection. The resurrection that we celebrate this morning is vital to who we are and to how we move forward into a world that would otherwise be cause for hopelessness. For without the resurrection, we would be as stuck as Mary Magdalene was. She had gone there, to the place where Jesus had been buried. But when she arrived, just as the sun was beginning to break through the darkness, she noticed, to her horror, that the stone that had sealed Jesus inside the tomb had been disturbed. It was rolled to the side, no longer concealing the entrance, no longer providing security to the slain body of her beloved teacher. And so, without even looking inside, she ran back to get Peter and the disciple whom Jesus loved. But after those two had come and gone, Mary was left alone outside the tomb, frozen in place. Paralyzed by fear or anger or sorrow, or more likely by some combination of all three, she stands alone outside the tomb and loses it. She weeps uncontrollably, not knowing what she ought to do or where she ought to go. This man whom she loved, who looked upon her as a beloved child of God, and who taught her alongside all of his other disciples, had been killed. And now, to heap even more heartache on top of her already searing pain, his body has been stolen. She is stuck. For her, as she is in that moment, it is the end. But eventually she musters up the courage and the strength to take a peek inside the tomb, perhaps to see if the other disciples missed something, or maybe hoping against hope that Jesus wasn't really gone. But what she sees instead are two angels who ask her why she is weeping. And at this point, we think that Mary ought to be clued into the fact that something out of the ordinary is happening. But Mary has been traumatized. She suffers this heartache in the same way that we suffer heartache. Logic and clear thinking are difficult in the immediate aftermath of extreme pain, and the same is true for her. The singular thought that is running through her mind is that the body of her beloved Jesus has been stolen, and that she must do whatever she can do to recover it. Thus, even as she turns her head back around to the outside world and lays eyes upon the resurrected Jesus, she is unable to know that it is him. For she does not yet know the joy of resurrection. All she knows is death and despair. Jesus has been killed and taken, and she is stuck in her heartbreak and hopelessness, unable to move forward, unable to see anything in the world except that which causes her sorrow. She is solely focused on finding the body. And so, supposing him to be the gardener, she begs him to tell her where Jesus has been taken. It's all that she can think about. Mary is stuck. There is no hope. No life on her horizon. But then, the good, life-changing, and life-giving news of resurrection breaks into her life. Mary, he says, and that's all it takes. In hearing her name on the lips of Jesus, the darkness that had been all-consuming was overcome with light. Life had taken the place of death. Joy had overcome grief. And where she once thought herself to be at the end of things, she has suddenly and dramatically learned that she was actually at the beginning of something. For Jesus has been resurrected, and now Mary knows it. She greets him and hugs him, and then when he gives her a command to go to the disciples, she goes, for she is no longer stuck. we celebrate that very same good, life-changing, and life-giving resurrection this morning. And like Mary, we affirm this morning that there is more to come. For as we've seen by her example of resurrection encounter, today is not the end. It cannot be the end. Instead, it is the beginning of some new and incredible world where sin has lost its grip, where death no longer has the last word, a world with the promise and assurance of life and glory, of peace and love, of joy and gladness. That's the sort of world that Mary steps into when she runs off to find the disciples. She's not stuck anymore. She moves forward to tell them of what has happened. What a turnaround. Mary, who had just moments ago been stuck in a world without resurrection, has now gone out to be the very first person to ever proclaim the good news that Jesus has risen from the dead. And so shall we go and do likewise. For today is only the beginning of what is left ahead of us. There is so much more to come. We went out of this place on Friday evening and entered into the falling darkness with crucifixion and death heavy on our minds. But this morning, with daylight and beautiful flowers, we have come to find an empty tomb. Today we worship because we behold resurrection and life and new beginnings. Today we have heard Jesus call our names, and in an instant we have discovered that we are no longer stuck, that we have been freed to step out of here and into a world that has been and is still being changed. Today we have been enabled to live as a new creation and to know that we shall one day be like him. The resurrection that we celebrate today, the same resurrection that turned Mary's world right side up, means that the prophecies of Isaiah are coming true. New heavens and new earth are being created. Restoration and redemption are already underway. The days are coming when weeping and distress will be no more, when all people shall eat and drink and worship in the full glory of Christ, for we will all join him in his resurrection. And it all starts today. It all begins with the good news of Easter. There is so much more to come, for today is only the beginning. Let us pray together. Most holy Christ, who walked out of your tomb and in so doing guaranteed that we will one day walk out of ours as well, we offer you our praise this day and every day. Through crucifixion and resurrection, you have secured our future. You have covered us with grace and showered us with mercy. And so we commit ourselves anew to being your faithful disciples. We pray, O Lord, that you might allow us to linger in the glory of your resurrection for as long as we need. And we pray also, Lord, that when the time comes to move forward into what has yet to come, that you might give us strength and boldness and courage for lives of increased faithfulness. To the glory of Christ the Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, our one God, now and forever. Amen. I invite you now to join me in singing hymn number 622, He Lives. may be seated real quickly. Jack, could you join me down here, please? As Jack makes his way down, if you ordered a lily, please make sure you bring it home with you this afternoon. If you can't get it this afternoon, they'll be here Tuesday and through the rest of the week. But if you can get them home and plant them, that would be great. Jack, as a church, we present you with this certificate so that you may always remember this day and your baptism, that it may be a reminder of what you've committed yourself to this day. If you didn't get a chance to greet Jack last week and offer him a word of encouragement, I invite Charlie and Charlotte and Francis to join him down here this morning as well so that you might welcome him into our family. Congratulations, Jack. And now let us go into the world as resurrection people, as people who not only embrace this good news for ourselves, but who proclaim this good news for everybody else as well. May we go in the peace and hope of Christ. Amen.